We celebrate today two very beautiful feasts, the feast of St. Raphael the Archangel and the second day of our 40 hours devotion. And how appropriate it is that the intention of this Mass should be for all those who are in need of God's healing, because the name of St. Raphael means in Hebrew, the medicine of God. And we honor our Lord today in the Blessed Sacrament, where, as the Council of Trent said, He is the remedy of our daily infirmities. He is the medicine of our souls. Let us look first at St. Raphael, the medicine of God. There was a very holy man in the Old Testament who was blind. He was named Tobias, and he had a son who was also named Tobias. One day he sent his son to a distant country to collect a debt, and Tobias the younger saw a traveler on the road who told him he knew how to get to this distant country that he was going to. This man was actually an apparition of the angel Raphael, and so they traveled together. As they were traveling, they caught a large fish from a river, and the angel told Tobias to save the heart, the gallbladder, and the liver, because he would be able to use them to heal his father's blindness. And so St. Raphael brought young Tobias safely to collect the debt that was owed to his father, and he brought him safely home. And when they got home, he told him how to apply the organs of the fish to his father's eyes. And he miraculously cured his father's blindness by means of the application of these parts of the fish. Because of this, St. Raphael the Archangel is very much a figure of healing in the Bible. His name means the medicine of God, and so we should pray to him today on his feast day, in this beautiful solemn Mass, which is being offered up for all those in need of healing. Everyone here needs healing in one way or another, and some of us need healing in more ways than one. First of all, our nature is wounded by original sin and its effects, which remain after baptism. Just as when a person is shot or stabbed and he survives, the wound heals, but often it will be a sore place for him for many years, maybe even for his whole life. When he is not feeling well, or the weather begins to get cold, or if he is excessively tired, his old wound will begin to cause him pain. And even though it no longer bleeds or is infected, and the flesh has long since grown back together where it had been torn. But the flesh there is damaged still, sometimes for his entire life. In the same way, our nature is wounded by original sin, even after baptism, has healed the wounds in our soul. We still feel the effects of it, and we will do so until the end of our lives. These effects are chiefly an inclination to evil and an inclination to serve ourselves instead of God. In addition to the wound of original sin, we have other wounds that are actually self-inflicted and which are caused by our own sins. Some of us may actually be in the state of sin, and we may need St. Raphael not just to heal us, but to ask for us the grace to rise from the dead, from the state of mortal sin, which is the death of the soul. Others of us may be playing with some occasion of grave sin, and we may need St. Raphael to put a tourniquet on our souls before we bleed completely to death and fall into mortal sin. And then there are certainly a large number of us who suffer from chronic venial faults, sins which we keep working hard to get rid of, but which persist in our souls. Like a cold that you might catch in the beginning of spring, which can last for weeks on end despite all of your efforts to make it go away. We also may suffer from sins committed in our past, which have been forgiven, but which have left their scars on our souls, so that we have an inclination to repeat them, despite our horror and contrition for them. And we are not only praying for healing from moral problems or sins, we are also praying for healing from every sort of problem that we may have. We are praying to be healed of our physical problems, our daily aches and pains, or possibly our serious health conditions that may make it impossible for us to do our work. Saint Raphael has power over those things too. We also ask him to help all those who are suffering in their mind from mental disturbances of one form or another. And let us also pray for healing for those who suffer emotionally, who may have some great sorrow in their personal lives. There are people, for example, whose hearts are broken with disappointment or loneliness, or because of misunderstandings with the people they love, or who may be the object of unjust persecution, or who are troubled because they have suffered an injury that they feel they cannot forgive, and they feel anger in their heart. Let us ask Saint Raphael to bring peace to all of these people, either by removing the cause of their troubles, or by giving them the wisdom to see the action of God in their lives by means of these tribulations. And we will be confident in the result of these prayers, because today is not only the feast of Saint Raphael, but it is also the continuation of the 40 hours devotion. And our Lord is exposed on the altar in the monstrance on a throne of mercy. This is truly a time of grace, and in this special time, our Lord is even more ready to dispense graces than at other times of the year. When we expose him in the monstrance and light all of the candles on the altar and have solemn and beautiful ceremonies in his honor, he truly responds by showering graces on those who participate. He has a great desire to give us graces, even more than we desire them ourselves. And so when we take the trouble to give him honor and praise, he will be even more generous with us than we are to him, because he is never outdone in generosity. And he has great compassion on our miseries. His pity for us induced him to descend from heaven to earth. He called himself the Good Shepherd, who came to give his life for his sheep. In order to obtain the pardon of our sins, he did not spare himself, but he sacrificed himself on the cross, so that by his sufferings he might satisfy for the chastisement that we had deserved. And he continues to say now in the words of Ezekiel, "Why will ye die, O house of Israel? Return ye and live." It is as if he said, "O my poor children, my poor sinners, why will you send yourselves to hell by running from me? Do you not see that by separating from me, you are hastening to eternal death? I do not want to see you lost, but do not despair. Come back as often as you want. Come back and you will recover your life. Return and live." That is what he is saying to all of us today, especially to the sinners. And when we are praying to our Lord today and tomorrow, let us keep in mind what Blessed Peter Julian Aimard said about the Holy Eucharist, that the institution of it not only fulfilled a need for mankind, but it also fulfilled a need in the heart of Jesus. The Holy Eucharist was not, strictly speaking, necessary for the redemption of man. Our Lord's death on the cross had already opened the gates of heaven. So why did he institute the Holy Eucharist? He did it in order to satisfy himself, partially, and to content his own heart. You see, he was very reluctant to leave us because of his great love for us. When we love other people, we want to be with them. We want them to be physically present to us. For this reason, we will travel long distances to visit our friends. Or if we can't do that, we will use imitations of their physical presence, such as a telephone, which recreates the sound of their voice for us over a distance. But our Lord knew that when he ascended back to heaven, there would be a sort of separation there. Not that he would actually be separated from his creatures, because since he is God, he is very close to his creatures by the fact that he maintains them in existence. But he understood our nature, our human nature, and he knew that if we are not in someone's physical presence, it is very difficult for us to love them. And since he has a human heart, he felt the same way about us. He wanted to be physically present to us in his humanity because of his love for us. And because of this, in his infinite wisdom, he was able to find a solution by which he could be physically present in a human way to all of his creatures, no matter where they might be upon the earth. And we, his creatures, feel closer to him when we pray to him in the tabernacle or in the monstrance. And we know that our prayer is more powerful and that our love for him is greater, and that we have a greater access to the mercy of God when we pray to him in his physical presence in the Holy Eucharist and talk to him in a human way than if we only talk to God as a pure spirit. And so when we do our half hour or our hour of adoration today or tomorrow, let us talk to him as if we would have talked to him on earth. If we could have spoken to him on earth, we would have spoken with great reverence and respect, certainly, but at the same time, familiarly, and with confidence and love, as to a good friend. We would have told him in our own words about our problems and our concerns, about our joys and sorrows, about our hopes and fears. We would have asked him for his help and advice. We would have asked him for healing for ourselves, for our family and friends, for all of the people in the parish, and for all of the members of the church throughout the world. And so let us speak to him today in the same way, in his real presence in the Holy Eucharist, which is just as really his physical presence as it was 2,000 years ago. He waits for our words to him, and if we listen carefully and keep our souls quiet when we are finished, we will hear his response in our souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.